So far, our commitment is up to $550 for Vacation Bible School. Our goal is $800. For those of you who have one of the three young people who graduated from high school this year, next Sunday is Grad Sunday. And I want to be sure, please, that your young people are with us for that particular service next Sunday. Okay? So that would be, that's the Foys, the Sigmunds, and the Halls, isn't it? Okay. A lot of people were asking about the yard sale yesterday. Let me just say this. It was hot. Man, it was hot. It was supposed to start at 8, but you know how yard sale people are. They're there at 4 o'clock in the morning, nudging you on your bed going, "Are you going to start yet?" And so I got over to the store about 6 o'clock or so, and about 7, it started. And I mean from 7 o'clock to what, 11, 11:30, 12, it was just Katie bar the door. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It just, it was wild and wide open. The church raised about $250 for its part in the yard sale. Got rid of a bunch of one man's junk, another man's treasure. But things went real well. We're glad to have that episode behind us, though, aren't we? Man, I guess the only thing could have been worse had been pouring down rain, but it was one more hot day out there yesterday. Let me make this one other announcement. Twice this week, I have tried to tell somebody how to get here. Yesterday, there was a lady who came by the yard sale, and Karen brought her over and introduced me to her. And in fact, one of those people this week, Alan Critchett. Good to see him again. I know you love him, Karen. We just endeavor to love all God's children, don't we? We endeavor. But anyways, I'm trying to tell Alan how to get here. And this lady yesterday, I was trying to tell her how to get here. And I was explaining it and got all up to it. And I said, "Do you have any questions?" And she said, "Yeah. Is that on the other side of 485? And I was kind of like, "Yes, ma'am." I thought when I mentioned East Mecklenburg High School, you would know that it was on the... I didn't say that out loud, but that's what I was thinking. I don't know that we're necessarily actively pursuing, looking for the possibility of a different place for us to meet as a group where we won't be quite so landlocked and have the ability to tell people how to get here. But I just want to mention it into your ears and ask you that if it be the Lord's will for us to have our meetings somewhere else, that He would open up that door, show us where that is, and direct us in that direction. And if it's not, then that's fine too. We just need the Lord to open up for us a goal and a purpose to discover what His will is for us right where we are. Okay? But it just came home so starkly twice this week, when especially yesterday. Ma'am, you go up 70. I said, "If you were wanting to go to Old Monroe Road in Charlotte, how would you go?" She said, "I just would go right over here to Old Monroe Road and go in." I'm like, "Okay, well, do you know where East Mecklenburg High School is?" "Yes, I do." So, I figure when I get there, that I can get. And then when I finish all that and she says, "Is that on the other side of 485? I'm like, obviously, I missed some directions somewhere. So, anyway, there was one other announcement I wanted to make to you. If you'll notice on the back of your bulletin where it tells you what the tithes and offerings were for last week, I got a report on my desk this week that I took a look at. For the last 3 months, our income has been less than our expenses, and so we've been transferring money out of our savings and into the general budget in order to make sure we meet all of our bills. Over the last 3 months, we've transferred $4,230 out of savings and into our regular account. If you divide that by three, that's an average of $1,410 per month that we're running short on our budget just to even meet the break-even point. That's what we need, yes. Yeah, that would take care of it, yes. If we can just rewrite the calendar, yes. We get one this month, yes. So I'm just bringing that to your attention to make that a matter of prayer, please. Speaking of prayer, many of you know my grandmother, my mother's mother, and we all call her T. She fell Saturday. And they took her to the hospital, and they were having some trouble getting her to come to consciousness. I talked to Mother this morning. She's leaving today to go to Goldsboro and be with T for a few days. They're going to do a CAT scan on her this afternoon, and she will probably go home from the hospital tomorrow. But these are very difficult situations. The situation itself is difficult, all righty? Then when you combine that with there are only two siblings, and they see things from... The word opposite viewpoints is not even close to being able to describe the extremes of their viewpoints, but that's the only word I can think of. That just even complicates the issue that much more. And so we want to be sure that that we're praying for Mother and for her sister's name is Linda, and for T, that as they have some decisions that are going to need to be made this week, they're thinking about stepping up the amount of assistance she gets in her assisted living. And T is opposed to that. And so that's the first obstacle they have to come over. And then the second obstacle is agreeing on how they're going to get that done. So we just want to remember them in our prayers. Okay? Are there any other prayer requests that we want to bring before the body this morning? Yes, Clarence. I was hoping Mike was going to be here to give me... I went to see Clarence Thursday, and Clarence took a turn for the worst about Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. Did they do the pacemaker yet, do you know? Okay. Okay. And extremely ornery. He was being extremely ornery Thursday when I was there. In his situation, I'd be ornery too. Yes, sir?
He doesn't walk. And we need to pray that God will give him a desire to
live.
To live.
Yeah.
Too tired to want to get over.
Yeah. That's what I tried to talk to him about Thursday night, and he bit me. Not physically, but he bit. But that's the problem. You know, he doesn't want to live. And we need to pray that God will spark that inside of him until such time as God decides it's time for him to step over to the other side and see Beverly again. Yeah, that's what he's after. Yeah. He wants to go see his wife. That's what he wants. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just need to pray that God's will be done. Amen? Amen. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was hot.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. All the work, all the effort, and everything else, the money is a moot point. Just that one woman, if that was all, just that one woman was worth every bit of it. Amen? Because she's not worthy, the Lamb is worthy of His reward. That's who she. That's what she is. She, those grandchildren, they are Jesus' reward for His faithfulness. And that's what we're out there getting. Amen? Picking up the jewels that Jesus died to have. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Yeah, my son Tripp has been just, I mean, the sickest I've ever seen him be or about anybody else in a long time. We thought at first it was food poisoning, which if you've ever had that, you know how sick that can make you. And now the doctors are starting to think it's some kind of an intestinal virus or something. But that boy's tough as a nail. And when he's hurting, he just keeps right on going. This has knocked him on his hiney. And when you look in his face, all you can see is just pain written across there where he's just about doubled over. He's been in our house last 3-4 days. He just so sick he can't stand to be by himself or alone or out or just needing some constant attention. So I want you to remember Tripp also in your prayers. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we serve a God whose arm is not short and who, if we take all of these needs and put them all together, that it is not too much for You. And so, Lord, we ask You that in each and every situation that You would, oh God, touch and have Your will in Your way. Father, we curse the attempts of the enemy to kill, steal, and to destroy. And we ask You, Lord, to set Your children free. Make us whole and complete in every situation before You for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Sometimes people will ask me where it is that sermon ideas come from. You know, the truth of the matter is, Pastor Jim can attest to this, we actually have more sermons and things we'd like to get said and do than we have time to get to. There's not a day that goes by that something doesn't happen that if I spent 10 minutes with it, I couldn't make a sermon out of it. There's never a meeting with Ray Sigmund that I don't walk away with my head spinning, running off on something that he has said to me that I think to myself, man, that would make a great sermon. I need to remember what he said. But they come from a lot of places. But let me tell you this. The best ones are the ones you're living. The ones that come from experience, the ones that affect you personally, those are the ones that are the best ones. And you see, the thing is, and I'm gonna use a word here that I choose because it really is the right word. I just hope nobody's offended by it. But I believe that if you're going to serve Jesus, you need to do it with a passion. That's my word. You need to do it with a passion. And we all feel passionately about the things that are affecting us. Whatever those things are, that's what we are passionate about. Basically, first and foremost, in spiritual gifts, what I am is a teacher. Secondly, is a pastor, and third is a prophet. You know, teachers, they like to hear things like, you know, I understood that. When a teacher hears those words, that just thrills his heart that he was able to communicate whatever it was he was trying to say in such a way that you understood it. A pastor likes to hear that blessed me. They want you to feel good when you walk out. They want to know the sheep have been combed and groomed and petted and that they feel blessed as they walk out the door. Of course, the prophet, he wants to hear you say, man, my thigh hurts. You know, I've been hit in my flesh and I am bleeding. And the prophet's like, good, you needed to bleed a little bit. That's the way prophets are. They take the sword of the word and they just cut you wide open and leave you for somebody else, for the pastor to come along and sew you up. Today is one of those sorts of messages. I've been living this week. There are two kinds of people in the world. And I've been living this week, and as we get down towards the end, it's going to be offensive. I'm going to start off in the teacher. I'm going to hang there, and at the end, we're going to end in the prophet. Here's the thing, though, that I want you to understand. In a situation like this, it's real easy to nudge the person next to you and go, George, are you listening to what he said? Well, I want you to understand this. I believe that thrown elbows are reactions, not actions. Hear me. They are reactions, not actions. What happened was the Holy Spirit threw the first one and you threw the second one. Did you catch what I just said? If I'm nudging Michelle going, are you paying attention? It's only because the Holy Spirit just nudged me and said, are you paying attention? And I just took the conviction and I reacted to it. A thrown elbow is a reaction. If at any point a thought crosses your mind, gosh, I hope Lois is listening. You can just bet that the Holy Spirit was going, are you listening? And he's talking to you. All right, let's pray and go home now. Matthew chapter 20. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? And let me just, I can't hardly read a scripture. This is the teacher part. I can't hardly read a verse without having something to say about it. It shows you the heart of Jesus that she knew she could come and ask a favor. That's all I'm going to say about that. What is it you want, he asked. I'm reading out of NIV. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on the left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Now, boy, there was a stupid answer, wasn't it? And those of you who've not given stupid answers to Jesus, you can come preach this morning. I've said things to him just about that dumb. Verse 23, Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Why? Because they didn't think of it first and go ask for the positions. They were mad that you thought of it before I thought of it. Because that's where I wanted to sit. Because of that attitude, we go to verse 25. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There are two kinds of people in the world. This is not the answer, but this is an example. Those who serve and those who wait to be served. And if we are going to be like Jesus, Jesus sets for us in verses 26, 27, and 28 the example, especially verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. A large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was coming by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd, I want you to notice this, please, with me, verse 31. The crowd rebuked the two blind men and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 32, Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them. There's two kinds of people in the world. Servants and those who wait to be served. Jesus, in verse 34, had compassion on them, touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed Him. Now, I want you to go with me to 21, verses 1 and 2. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Now, the reason I want you to see verse 1 and 2 is this. Jesus, they go in to get this donkey. They come back. They get Jesus. Jesus never comes back out of Jerusalem. He never passes this way again. Had the two blind men let the crowd talk them into hushing, they would have died blind. They would have died blind. You never know, ladies and gentlemen, when it is your last chance to be helpful to someone else. But if we do not live with a servant's heart, we miss those chances. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'll give you another second. It just thrills my heart to see you're following along. I want you to be there with me. They, that's Jesus and disciples, came to Capernaum. When He, Jesus, was in the house, Jesus asked the 12 disciples, "What are you arguing about on the road?" Now just stop and think about that question for just a minute. Number one, we know He knows the answer. He just heard them squabbling, fussing among each other, because when you argue, the volume always goes up. But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about what? Who was the greatest? See, that takes us right back to the right and the left. I want to be the greatest. Now let me tell you something. In the kingdom, everybody is the same, but not everybody has the same rights and privileges. See, there were 70 that were sent out two by two, but there was only 12 called disciples. There was only 3 on the Mount of Transfiguration, but there was only 1 on whom Jesus laid His head. Everybody's loved the same, but not everybody else has the same rights and privileges. It's just a good thing Jesus wasn't an American, isn't it? Because He'd have had to treat everybody fairly. Fairly based on what the crowd thinks is fair. Like I've told my children all their lives, don't expect me to be fair because God's not fair. Now, for those of you bothered by that, let me just tell you. If God would fair, He'd have to give you what you deserve. How many of you want that? God is unfair because He is just and merciful. But He ain't fair. If He was fair, He'd let the rain shine, or He'd let the rain fall on the just and not on the unjust. But He just spreads His grace out all over everywhere, doesn't He? Sitting down, verse 35, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first," and let me tell you this right now, we all want to be. So don't live behind some mask of, "Not me." Yes, you do. All of us want to be first. He must be the very last and the servant, two kinds of people in the world, of all. He took a little child, had him stand among them. Taking him in His arms, He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in My name welcomes Me." But here's the exciting part right here. "Whoever welcomes Me does not welcome Me, but welcomes the one who sent Me." You talk about how you want to love God, how you want to serve God. It's done by a servant's heart. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. beginning with verse 9. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and, NIV says, prayed about himself. Now, we read those next two verses and we say, well, you know, I don't know what this is all about. I don't do this. Hey, we all do this. We all pray, let's change the word from about ourselves to for ourselves. You don't think so? All right, I'll tell you what let's do. I'll be a time scale. And you come up here and you put in this hand how much time you spent this week praying for others, and put in this scale how much time you spent praying for yourself. Anybody want to come? See, we don't stand up and go, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like Ray Zygmunt." See, we don't do that. But on the time scale, we still pray about ourselves. We still pray for ourselves. And the rest of the world can go to hell in a handbasket. What do I care about what's going on in Ted's life? Long as I'm getting through to heaven for what I need. Boy, y'all looking at me hard. But what I'm telling you is the truth. But what Jesus says is that the one that goes away blessed, in verse 14, is the one who humbles himself. That's the one who will be exalted. We've got the thing backwards. See, the enemy has retrained us, or trained us. I'm not sure which is right. The enemy has trained us that just as soon as God gives us all we need and we get straight and all of our world's okay, then I'm going to help Samima. And God says, no. You go and you help Samima, and I'll work on your world. Isn't that what he says? Okay, that's what he said, whether we want to admit it or not. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I used to think that silence meant you didn't understand. I understand now that silence means I understand all too well. Luke chapter 9, verses 23. Okay, I did it right on the overhead and did it right on my outline. It's 23 through 25. Then Jesus said to them all. Now, not to a few, not to the 12, the 3, the 70, or the 120. He said to them all, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, not when it becomes heavy or burdensome or aggravatingsome, but daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Verse 23, "If anyone will come after me..." Notice there, it doesn't say he should, he can, he ought to. It says he will. It says he must. Must is the word. He must. Oop, I've already flipped my page down. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. There are two kinds of people in the world: servants and those who sit around waiting to be waited on. Still not the right answer yet. We're going to get the offensive part in just a minute. Turn with me now in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12. You know, they teach you in school that if you preach a sermon and they can remember the gist of the sermon over lunch, you've done a good job. I'm hoping today you'll remember it all the way to next week. Actually, I'm hoping you'll change our lives. Romans chapter 12, those of you taking notes, verses 9 through 21. Verse 9. And the NIV reads, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good." The Living Bible says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I want to say to you right here. These verses 9 through 21, this is how we are supposed to live. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not some lofty thought. This is how we should live. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Verse 10, NIV. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Living Bible says, love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. In other words, when little Brian participated in the Olympics here a month ago, and did so well, it was all the family that said, "Yay!" Now, I like it a whole lot better that Brian is the one who got out there and sweated and worked and busted his can to get the job done. I like that better than me having to do it. But it is the privilege of the family to stand and rally around and go, "Yay!" That's what we're going to do next Sunday morning on Grad Sunday. I'm sitting there watching Anna at graduation, and I'm thinking to myself, I wish I was back in school and understood how important this event was. Because when I was there, do you know what a gimme putt is in golf? A gimme putt is whenever you've putted towards the hole and you're so close, they figure you're going to make it anyway, so they just go ahead and give it to you. You don't have to finish it out. That's kind of how I finished high school. I was so close, they said, "Let's just get him on out of here." When I walked out the door, I was kind of like, "Bless Jesus, I never want to see you again." And of course, they were probably saying the identical same thing to me. You know? But I mean, I was just relieved. It's over. I didn't understand that it wasn't over. It was just beginning. See, I didn't understand that. And it wasn't anybody's fault I didn't understand it, because you could have told me and I still wouldn't have known it. You know what I'm saying? But it really is, as we've grown older now, we understand. You know, and of course, with that attitude that I had, I left there and went on to make decisions that were not the best decisions in my interest. I made really bad decisions that were not in my interest all the way through school. I don't need this. You see? So anyway, back on the point. Next week, we want to rally around and cheer an event that is worthy of being honored. Now, whether they understand or not, that's a moot point. Okay? We act as the responsible ones, hopefully, and try to encourage them the best that we can. Devoted to one another in brotherly love, honoring each other. Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Living Bible says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Enthusiastically. Now, isn't that a great word? It's not, "Oh Lord, what have I got to do today?" But, "Oh Lord, I'm grateful I can do something today." Well, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Living Bible says, be glad for all God is planning for you. Be glad in all that God is planning for you. Be patient when there's trouble, and be prayerful always. I'm going to tell you, when I have the least amount of patience is when I'm in trouble. I live the opposite of what this verse just told me to do. That's honest enough, isn't it? Verse 13, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Verse 13 out of the Living Bible says, when God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. I'll never forget as a child, and I'll always be grateful to you for this. I'll never forget as a child when my dad was pastoring Men Hill Baptist Church. The church sat up the hill a little bit and on the road, and the parsonage, the house we lived in, was kind of down the hill and right there. But we were back behind the church, and it was a Wednesday. It's late in the afternoon, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. And there is this van or truck or car or something parked in the parking lot up at the church. So Dad goes up there to see if the car's broke down or whatever. And there's this family that they got, like, I don't know, do you remember, 2 or 3 children, something? They got 2 or 3 children or something, mom and dad. The car is loaded down with everything they own. They're in the middle of moving from one point to the other. They had ridden by the church, were impressed or moved or whatever word you want to use by the sign that was on the thing out front, and stopped and wanted to go to church on a Wednesday night at a place that had a sign that impressed them that was out front, and they were just sitting waiting on church to start. So Daddy said to him, you had anything to eat? Well, no, we're a little tight on money, you know, and we got enough to get where we need to go, but no, we... Come on down to the house! My mother freaked. Because, you know, women's attitude is, the place is not clean, I didn't fix enough, I didn't know they were coming. And you know what Daddy's attitude was? All right, children, each of you take a little less, so that we've got a little more to spread around. Now, is that a clear story of what that verse right there just said, or is it not? That is how God wants us to live. And I'm grateful to my parents for that example in front of me. And Daddy solved the problem, no problem at all. You know, Don, you don't get 2 pieces of chicken, you're only going to get 1. And you know what? Didn't stunt my growth or kill me. But because I was more like what the verses we read a little bit ago, I want to be first. Somehow or another, I thought I was entitled to 2 chicken legs. But my dad let me know real quick, this is not an entitlement program. This is not a democracy. This is a benevolent dictatorship. And a dictator said, you can get 1 leg and you won't starve to death. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Living Bible says, if someone mistreats you because you're a Christian, don't curse him. Pray that God will bless them. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Living Bible, when others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. I just want to put in here the word genuinely. Genuinely care. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Verse 16, Living Bible, work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. Now, boy, we do that, don't we? I don't think there's a big person in the room. We enjoy all of us ordinaries. And don't, Living Bible finishes off with, and don't think you know it all. Verse 17. NIV, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Living Bible, never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest and clear throughout. Now, you know, let's just take our highlighters and throw them away and take a ballpoint pen and just mark that verse out. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't like it. I read somewhere, vengeance is mine, thus saith Don. You read that verse, didn't you? Yeah, I read that a time or two. Mine is swifter, quicker, and I feel much better about it when I'm done. Now, that's how we live. This is how we're supposed to live. Never pay back evil for evil. Boy, I hate hearing that. 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Living Bible says, don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. I stand at a yard sale yesterday, and some guy came up, started talking to my service tech, and his name's Lloyd. Lloyd said something back to him, and the man said, "You don't even know what you're talking about." And Lloyd said, "I guess you're right, sir." And turned around and walked off. Now, they were talking about Lloyd's business, something he's done for years and does every single day. But this guy just had the attitude that Lloyd didn't know what he's talking about. And as best as Lloyd was able to live in peace with all men, he said, "Yes, sir," and just went on, knowing that he did know what he was talking about, but not willing to stand there and argue with a fool. Nineteen. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." Living Bible says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who deserve it. Now see, the problem with that is, though, is that He determines who deserves it. I wouldn't mind His vengeance if He let me determine who deserves it. Don't take the law into your own hands, verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Living Bible says, instead, feed your enemy if he's hungry. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, and you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, you will feel he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Now, let me explain something to you about heaping coals of fire on your head. It used to be, actually, before, I'm not sure how I want to say this. Let me use the word Europeans. Before Europeans came to America, even wars were fought civilly. I mean, you just basically lined up, and whoever had the most men, you just sort of shot at each other. But it's when Europeans got to America, and they started having an arrow go through their heart, and they never saw it coming because the Indian was standing behind a tree. See, that's when they begin to go, wait a minute now, there might be another way to do this. That's the reason why we won. Well, I say we won. That's why we were able to declare a separation from England. They came over and stood out in the field saying, "Come out here and fight us." And the Americans said, we learned something from the Indians. And they stood on the edge of the field and just shot them out there in the field. But it used to be that whenever warring factions would war with each other, that when the day was done, it was almost like a job. When the day was done and you settled down to camp, you didn't attack your enemy in the night. They didn't have matches and all that sort of thing. They would actually, in the morning, when the fire would burn itself down to coals, they would take the hot coals and put them in a turban on their head, and the sun would keep those coals warm all day long, so that at night they take the turban off, take the warm coals, put a little fuel on it, a little brush, a little stuff, you know, blow on it, and the fire would start back up again. And so in the culture in which this was being written, what it said was this: if your enemy that you're at war with, his fire, his coals go out at night, put some coals on his head. Now you can fight tomorrow, but tonight, you give him what he needs in order to be warm and in order to cook his food and feed. You see, it's not, "Well, by God, I'm going to heap fire on their heads and God's going to bless me for it." No, that's not what that verse says. It says, return good for evil. Give them fire to go on their head so that they can keep warm. And God will bless you. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Living Bible says, don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good. Ladies and gentlemen, the pastor part's over. There are two kinds of people in the world. Bottom of your outline, two lines. There are two kinds of people in the world. First outline, first word there is dogs. Nope, not dogs and cats. Nope. Not dogs and cats. There are two kinds of people in the world. Dogs and ticks. There are the bloodsuckers and them who carry the bloodsuckers around. There are two kinds of people in the world. Bloodsuckers and those who carry bloodsuckers around. Dogs and ticks. And as much a shame as it is, that is the reality of life. Can't all of us be like Lois and Martha? Constant givers all the time. See, they're the dogs of the world. And Lois, she loves dogs. She don't mind being a dog. You're happy to be a dog, aren't you? Happy to be a dog. Me too. Me too, Lois. Love dogs. There are two kinds of people in the world, dogs and ticks. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I know a tick, that's a reaction. If your thought was, I'm sitting next to a tick, that's a reaction. Because I'm not talking about anybody other than you and me. That's all we're talking about. There are bloodsuckers and them who carry bloodsuckers around. And Jesus said, he who would be greatest in the kingdom must be servant of all. Now, where is balance found? Thank you very much. In the middle. It said in the Scriptures, as much as is possible, be at peace with all man. There are times when you have to get the tweezers out and you have to pull the blood suckers off or they will kill you. There are times when you need the iodine bottle. And you know, it's an amazing thing about ticks. You can stand there and go, and you still ain't killed that thing. And all the tick people of the world, they're like that. You just can't kill them. You take it and put it in a Kleenex and flush it. It still ain't dead. The only way I know of it to kill a tick? Burn him. Set him on fire. The only thing I know, that'll do it. And there are people in this world, I mean, this sounds funny, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. I hope you're listening. But there are people in the world, there are people sitting in this room who will just suck the blood out of whoever it is they can get it all out of. And when that dog's dead, they just move on to another dog. And have not one regret. Think they owe nobody and nothing anything. And there comes a time when you just have to burn them. As much as it's possible, live at peace with all men. When it's not possible, they got to go. The point in this morning's message is that in the kingdom, God calls us to a dog world. One of servanthood. one of laying down our lives, not only for one another, but laying down our lives for ticks. Because in the kingdom, there is such a thing as recreation. Amen? God can change a tick into a dog. He sure can. Only God can. And there's another excellent point. It is only God that can change our natures. And we have to want it. Two kinds of people in the world, dogs and ticks. Which elbow did God throw at you? There's the question. Which elbow did God throw at you? I pray that we individually... Well, let me back up. I pray that we, and corporately show the servanthood and the servant nature of Jesus Christ. Because we don't know when is the last time we will pass by and have the opportunity to be a blessing. Did I tie it all together just fine? Let's pray. God, there are some who would like to have natures changed. We ask you to grant the longing of that heart. There are others who wouldn't admit the truth of who they were if it were to kill them. We ask you to open up their eyes. There are others who've sucked the blood so long they don't want to be any different. God, make them uncomfortable. More than anything else, oh God, please make each and every one of us more like you. That the servant heart and the servant nature of the Lord Jesus Christ be birthed within us, that we might serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great day. Go give them heaven.